Hello, and welcome to Living Beyond Limits and our online service. I am Reverend Jennifer Speer, and we are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living, and I welcome you here today. Before we begin, I invite you to get out a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper, because I'm going to ask you some questions during this talk, so you'll have something to write with. And so when we begin our services, when we are in person together, one of the first things that we do is say good morning to the people that are sitting near us. And what really happens is that's a time for us to open our hearts and feel that connection that we have with each other and to revel in that connection and in that love that we feel for each other. And so since we're not in person right now, what I invite you to do is to close your eyes for a moment and just to imagine in your mind's eye some of the people that you sit near on a Sunday morning. And if you don't regularly attend with us, imagine some of the people that you love and care about. And so right now, send them some of that love. See you wrapping them in your love and your care, seeing them stand in their wholeness and in their power. And to know that as you are doing that, you are actually sending them a blessing. And to know that as you are doing that, there is someone who is watching this video who is doing the same thing for you, sending you their love and their blessing and seeing you stand in your wholeness and in your own power. And how wonderful it is to get to participate in being a blessing for each other. And so we begin our service today. I'm going to invite our practitioner, Ray Bunch, to come forward. He is going to lead us in an evocation as we begin to evoke an awareness of the presence of spirit that is already right where we are and do a contemplative reading for us. And so I invite you to just begin to settle into yourself, to allow yourself to move into that space within you that is silent, that is quiet, the place within you of stillness that is not affected by the outside world, but that is just beingness itself.
So just join me right now. Take a deep breath. Bring your consciousness to your own self. Let everything in the outside world just kind of go away. As we turn within to that much more sacred world, to that place where we understand, where life has meaning, and where faith stands tall. And as we come to this place, just allow yourself to relax and to open yourself up . Be willing to enter into uncertainty. Challenge yourself to hear something new. Pay attention to to what happens inside of you, what your thoughts are, and what your beliefs are that fly up around this talk today. And as you observe all this, I just bless you. For I know that there is one power, one source, one energy, and one creative force, and that we all have access to it because it is simply who we are. Mm. For we are born from this. We are in this. And we are it manifested right here, right now, in this life. So I bless this service. I bless everyone involved with it. And I particularly bless Reverend Jennifer as she opens herself up and allows the stream of spirit to pour through her in miraculous ways. And I simply say, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. So today's reading is coming from a book by the name of A Daily Dose of Sanity by Alan Cohen. It's the reading for October the 29th, titled Dangerous Moments. It starts out with a quote, "People who fly into rage always make a bad landing." Mm. That's Will Rogers' quote. A Tibetan Buddhist monk was incarcerated for 18 years as a political prisoner of the Chinese. After he was released, an interviewer asked him if he had ever been in serious danger. "Yes, about three times," the monk explained. "How so?" the interviewer asked. "Were you tortured?" "No," the monk replied. "Those were the times that I grew angry." What happens to your spirit is far more significant than what happens to your body. We all know people who have a great material wealth and are miserable in spirit. We also know people who have little in the world but are soaring in the spirit. You can, of course, be wealthy material as well as spiritually. It is a matter of attitude. You live life simultaneously on two different dimensions. Number one is the horizontal dimension. You move through your storyline there. You were born in a certain family. You went to school. You played games. You got married. You may have a family. You go to a particular job, and you do, and so on, and so on, and so on. This story is what most people would relate to if they were asked, "Tell me about your life." On the second, at the same time, you also live in a vertical spiritual dimension. You have ups and downs, joys and sorrows, a sense of connection and of disconnection, and a whole realm of experiences invisible to the eyes of most observers. While the horizontal dimension is important, because you are a spiritual being, at your core, your vertical dimension is more significant. So no matter what occurs in your worldly story, your real quest is to maximize your sense of well-being, which is independent of any particular horizontal dimension. What the monk noted that was in his danger when he became angry was an affirmation that his primary comment. What the monk noted that he was in danger when he became angry was his affirmation that his primary commitment was to inner peace, and he evaluated his success of life by how much he stayed connected to peace. Mm-hmm. His body could be incarcerated, but not his soul. If inner peace is the real measure of success, once again, if inner peace is the real measure of success, how much danger are you or have you been in? Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. Very nice. And so I'm going to share with you now our mission statement. So if you know it, you can say it along with me. And if you don't know it, I invite you just to take it in. It goes like this. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. And so that's what we're up to here at Living Beyond Limits, is we are giving ourselves the opportunity by remembering that, yes, indeed, that presence of the infinite is right at the center of our being. That one presence, that one power, that one life of spirit that expresses itself in and through and around and as everything expresses itself within us as peace and as love, as the truth of our own wholeness and our own power, as a presence of good. Because what happens is when we come to know that, and remember that, we walk through the world differently. We have a different sense of being centered and anchored. And we come to the world as a beneficial presence because we can come to the world as love and as peace and bring those things into the world when the world needs it and the world isn't reflecting it back to us. So we don't get our peace because it's peaceful out there. We get our peace because we pull it up from within us and then we bring it into the world. And as we do that, it changes things around us. We bring our love into the world and it changes things around us. And so I thank you for saying yes to the call of your own spirit, to be walking this spiritual path and bringing that divine presence into this world and for being a beneficial presence in this world. I thank you for that. And so, as human beings, we have a need to understand things. We have a need to make sense of things. And so, during these chaotic times, as we live through a worldwide pandemic, and as we move through a crazy election cycle, as we move through this time of divisive politics, and disinformation, as we live through this time of civil unrest and protests, we want to be able to fit those things into a context and to make sense of them and to understand them. And when things are happening in this world that don't feel right to us, we want to be able to set them right. And as awake spiritual beings and awakening spiritual beings, we also don't want to be part of the problem. We don't want to add to that chaos that's going on in the world. In fact, as spiritual beings who are awake, what we really want is to be part of the solution. We want to be part of the answer. We want to be able to be a beneficial presence to the whole. And I know that right now it's really easy to get into fear. It's really easy to get into anxiety and into worry about the economy and about business, maybe your own business, to get into fear and worry maybe about your job. It's easy to get into worry and concern if the people that you love and care about might get sick. It's easy to worry about the election that is coming up in 2 days, and that if it doesn't turn out the way that you want it to turn out, that our country might go down a road that you don't want it to go down. And it's easy to get into fear and worry about those things. It's easy to get caught up in the forecasting that the media presents to us, which is almost always the worst case scenario of what might happen. Or we do forecasting of our own, and we make up stories about how awful things might be. We make up stories that really the bottom line is always that somehow things won't be okay, or even underneath that, the fear that we won't be okay. Do you have any of those stories going on in your head? Any of those stories that you're making up about what might happen and how terrible it will be? A Course in Miracles says, the real cannot be threatened, and nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The real cannot be threatened. That which is eternal cannot be threatened, cannot be hindered, cannot be destroyed, cannot be diminished. Love cannot be threatened. Your own wholeness cannot be threatened. Your life in God cannot be threatened. The wisdom and the guidance and the intelligence that lives within you cannot be threatened. The well-being of your soul cannot be threatened. You, as an eternal being in that presence of God, cannot be threatened. Valerie Kaur, who is an activist, lawyer, and faith healer, talked about in these chaotic times. And she says, in our tears and agony, we hold our children close and confront the truth. The future is dark. But my faith dares me to ask, what if the darkness is not the darkness of the tomb, but of the womb? What if the darkness is not the darkness of the tomb, but is the darkness of the womb? What if those things that are happening in the world right now that feel so terrible to us are actually labor pains that are bringing something greater forward? What if they are labor pains that is bringing something better forward, something new, something greater than we've ever experienced in the past? What if those things that we see as terrible, the things that seem dark right now, are really the womb experience of growing that expression of the divine within each one of us, of growing a greater opening within us for that divine presence to express? What if that womb experience, the darkness that we see, is creating something greater throughout humanity and a greater opening for that one that is within us and that one that is within society? The title of my talk today is Labor and Delivery. And I'm talking about that it is the nature of the divine to unfold itself in ever greater ways, in ever more full ways, more complete ways than it has. That is the evolution of this physical world, the unfolding of that divine presence in greater and fuller ways. It is the nature of life to express that presence. And we, each, are being beckoned to consciously choose to bring that presence into this world in a fuller way. To consciously choose to give birth to that presence. And that presence expresses as love and as wholeness and as order and as harmony. We're being called to bring that into this world, to consciously participate in the unfolding of good. We are part of the delivery system of that. And it makes me think of a tomato plant. You know, a tomato seed has everything within it that it needs to produce a full and abundant plant that is full of rich and delicious and juicy tomatoes. It has everything for its full-fledged expression of all that it is. And yet sometimes there is a drought. And if there's a drought, it requires us to water it. And sometimes there's a heat wave. And in that heat wave, in order for that plant to produce its best fruit, it asks of us and requires that we put shade, some shade cloth or an umbrella or something over that tomato plant. I do that to my own tomato plants. Otherwise, those tomatoes get sunburnt on the top of them, and they're not as juicy and delicious. And sometimes there's a really heavy rainstorm, and it causes those branches to get weighed down, and it asks of us and requires that we actually buoy those branches up and tie them up. Or sometimes the branches just get so large and full of fruit that we're required to stake them up. Although the absolute potential exists within that tomato seed for its full expression and for that rich and abundant crop of luscious tomatoes, it requires us to participate. And what it requires is our focus and our dedication and our tenacity and our vision of what it is that we want that plant to do. And as we do that, as we are dedicated and have tenacity and continue to focus on that, the tomato plant thrives and gives off an abundant crop. We could just give in to the heat wave. You could just throw in the towel and say, I'm done. You could throw in the towel and complain to all your friends about how hot it is and how you've never seen anything like this heat before. You could talk about how terrible that heat is and how evil that heat is and how destructive it is. And then you could just give up and watch the plant die. Or you could ask, what am I being asked to do in this situation? What am I being called to do so that this tomato plant can fully thrive and be all that it was intended to be? So my question to you is, what are you doing right now to help your vision of the world that you want to see thrive? What are you doing right now to nurture that vision that you hold of this world? What are you doing so that it might produce its best fruit? What are you doing so that the divine potential that lives within you might come forward in a fuller way? And so I'd like to take you through a visioning process right now. And if you don't know what that is, it's a meditative process where we tune into that all-knowing wisdom within us and ask questions. And after I ask the question, you may hear an answer or see an image or just get a feeling. And you can go ahead and open your eyes and write that down. and then move back into that place of wisdom within you. And so I invite you with me to turn within right now. And as we turn within, I recognize that none other than the presence of the infinite is right here within us. That wisdom of which the cosmos was created out of, that same wisdom lives within us. And that presence of the divine lives within us. The mind of God, the heart of God, the life of God. And I know that held within that mind of God is the ultimate unfolding idea of what the complete idea already looks like. And so we listen within to that presence of wisdom. We look within for that full-fledged picture. And we ask that wisdom inside of ourselves, what is the highest vision that is seeking to unfold itself right now through this country, through this world? What is the highest vision that is seeking to unfold itself? What does it look like? And in full communion with that wisdom, with that knowing mind of God inside of us, of our own spiritual essence, we ask, what does that highest vision feel like? What is its feeling tone? What is its essence? What is the feeling tone or the essence of this highest vision that is seeking to unfold itself? And turning within one more time. To that wisdom of the cosmos. We ask, in order for this highest vision to unfold itself, what must I embrace? What must I embrace so that this vision might unfold? And going within one more time. And opening up just a little bit more. And going just a little deeper. We ask that wisdom within us, in order for this vision to fully manifest itself, what must I release? What must I release in order for this vision to unfold itself? And moving back within one last time, asking our own soul, what am I being called to do? In order that this vision might unfold itself, what am I being called to do? What is my part to play? And so I invite you to release the meditation in gratitude for this unfolding vision and to allow yourself to just return to the room that you're sitting in. In the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes says, we are on the path of experience, just waking to the real fact of our true being. As we awake, we find we are surrounded by many false conditions, but there is something within which remembers the real state. There is something within us that remembers who we are and that remembers what we are and that remembers why we are here. There is something within us that remembers that spirit is at the center of everything and that we are each unfolding it. There is something within us that remembers that God's power and God's potential is at the center of everything. And we are being called to remember who we are and to bring that forward into this world. And so my answer in that visioning process and the vision that I hold for this world is a world and a vision of equality and a vision of inclusion. It's a vision of oneness and of care for everyone. And its essence is love. And you know, as I look around this country and all that we're going through, I see so many people waking up. And as a result of Black Lives Matter movement and the protests that are going on. I see an awakening happening within white people in this country of waking up to the fact that things have not been equal, that this has not been a nation of equality. And I see people creating change. I see people creating change within themselves, shining a light into those dark places that they hadn't been aware of. I see systematic changes happening and structural changes happening in business and on TV and in policies. There's an awakening that has been happening because of the struggle and what looks like chaos. In the midst of COVID-19, I see people becoming aware of new priorities, or priorities that were there all the time, but they were so distracted and so busy that they weren't actually giving time to those things that were of value to them. And I see people changing the way they're living their lives and living more in alignment with those values and with those priorities. And so I read a story in the Science of Mind magazine that I'd like to share with you. He says, years back, I had my first opportunity to travel to the island of Roatan in Honduras to reunite with a friend I knew in college who was departed due to unfortunate circumstances. I remember traveling down a bumpy road to a small Garifuna village tucked up against the Caribbean, filled with banana trees, children playing soccer on the beach, small shacks with tin roofs, and some traditional mud huts. As I was introduced to many people from the village of Punta Gorda, their smiling faces, bright eyes, and kind hearts brought me a level of comfort and connection. In the back of my mind, I had this idea that I was there to change something, to be of service to the people. We talked about getting clean water that was accessible each day. We talked about creating a sustainable farm for the youth to be a part of to keep them out of trouble. We talked about a cultural center for tourists to learn about the beauty of Honduras and the Garifuna culture. Over the course of the next 7 years, I returned for 1 or 2 months each year, and we accomplished many of the things that we thought of. During this time, I realized something profound. You see, I thought I was there to somehow help them, but what I didn't recognize until later was that they were divinely planted in my path to help me. Their kind hearts, welcoming energy, empowered outlook, and deep connection with life was a blessing waiting for me on a small island off the coast of Honduras. Things aren't always what they seem on the surface level. It requires our willingness to nurture and to support that vision. It takes our willingness to feed it, to support it, to act on it. Otherwise, there's just labor and no fruit. So my invitation to you is to hold that vision. The vision that you just got, what is the highest vision that is seeking to unfold itself? Hold that vision in your heart and in your mind and in your prayers. Hold that it is possible for it to unfold. Hold that vision that's seeking to emerge. And hold your own personal vision for this world. What you want for this country and what you want for this world. And know that we are in a womb experience, not a tomb experience. And trust that whatever's going on is causing all of us to wake up. It's waking us up. And know that there is a great something within every single person, within every single person. and that it is knocking at the hearts and the souls of each of us. And know that we each have the courage to hear it, that we each have the ability to hear that great something that is knocking at our hearts and souls. And do what is yours to do. Be part of the solution. And then be open to the miracles and the surprises and the gifts that show up in the midst of it. And as a result, we will be giving birth to this divine idea, to this divine ideal. And we will absolutely be being a beneficial presence on this planet and bringing heaven to earth. And so blessings to you on this path of remembering who you are, this path of self-discovery, and this path of giving birth to that divine presence in this world that is beautiful and magnificent and healing. Thank you to you and blessings to you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so I turn my attention right now to the truth that yes, that omnipresence of spirit is everywhere. All of the love that God is, all of the peace, all of the wisdom, the intelligence, the power, the good that God is everywhere present. And that this power and this presence is the one that is the sustainer and the maintainer of all life. It is that presence that buoys us and carries us and inspires us and calls to our hearts and our souls to give way to good and ever greater good, to give way to unity and oneness and love, connection and care. It is that one that is calling us and beckoning us and shining the light before us on this path as we walk this path of being a human being here on planet Earth. When in truth, we are spiritual beings here bringing the light to this planet. And so as I look around, I see that there are divine lights all around me. That light of the divine presence is expressing itself within people everywhere that I look. And it is expressing as love and connection and care and hands reaching out and hearts being open and embracing and caring. I also see that light of the divine right now expressing it within in the minds and bodies of each and every single one of us as wisdom and as choices that support the thriving of this planet and that support the thriving of humanity. And so I speak this word also about the election that is happening this week. That it is the presence of the I am within each one of us that leads us and guides us. It is the presence of the I am that is the voter, that is the activity of the voting. And that presence unfolds itself as correct and perfect decisions and choices and people and positions and places. That divine presence is truly the only power that there is. And it is the only presence that there is. And it is active here and now within and as this election. And so it is with gratitude for recognition of this infinite one that I lean into it with my trust and my faith and my heart and my soul. And I live my life here in this connection, in this oneness, in this atmosphere, in this energy of good and of love and of truth. And so I release this prayer into the creative law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself all around each one of us right now. And so it is with a grateful heart that I release this prayer. In gratitude, I let it be, and so it is. And so I invite you to continue to hold this country and the election and all of us in that vision and in that light and in your own spiritual knowing and peace and love. And so, a couple announcements for you. One is that we still are doing Ministry of Prayer, so if you would like us to support you in prayer, you can email Barbara Conant or text or call her, or you can email livingbeyondlimitscsl@gmail.com, and we will put you on our Ministry of Prayer list and support you for the next week in prayer. We have prayer shawls. If you would like a prayer shawl, you can email that same address or get a hold of Barbara Conant, and she will make sure that you get a prayer shawl. And she and David, our practitioners, will pray over it beforehand and give it off to you. We have a coffee at the park every Thursday morning at 10:30 that we invite you to join us if you would like to, for conversation and community and just enjoying each other's company in the park at Hartwell Park, 10:30 on Thursday mornings. Bring a chair, bring a mask, bring your coffee, and we just have a nice time together. We also have a Thursday evening Zoom call at 7 p.m. where we are doing connection and spiritual practice together. And again, time to connect heart to heart and love and support each other and get to know each other on a deeper level, which is really nice. It's a very intimate and loving time that we spend together. If you are not on our email list, email me at that address and we will make sure that you get those notifications with the Zoom info number so that you can get onto the call. We invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel at Living Beyond Limits, Center for Spiritual Living. And last, I would like to thank you for your ongoing support of Living Beyond Limits. It is allowing us to stay in the black as we move through this time of staying safer at home and to continue to do business and continue to support our young employees so that they can also move through this time with ease. And so blessings to you. I will see you next week in the park, November 8th. We are having a Sunday service at Hartwell Park. I look forward to seeing you there, and I will see you back here in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.